Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, found on page 886 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, a very good morning to all of you. What a pleasure it is to be here in this place among these people with this purpose. I'm very grateful for Ray's gracious invitation to participate in the Word of the Week series. Because part of what I've realized over the last several years of my career is that we've lost the lexicon of faith. Words don't come easy to us in terms of how we understand these very holy words, if you will, like righteousness, which Craig Meeks worked with you on 2 weeks ago, and forgiveness, which Quinn reintroduced to you last week. These are tough words. They don't find these kinds of words in everyday parlance, words like grace and mercy and repentance and salvation. These are words that when we grew up in faith, we understood them, but I've noticed as time has gone on, we've lost their understanding. But you've got an easy one today, right? You've got fellowship. And there's an added bonus. We get to teach you some Greek. The word is koinonia. Now, my intent is not to make you into Greek scholars, but in all of these words, as they are introduced in Scripture, and as we live them in faith, we come to realize that we need to immerse ourselves in the breadth and the depth of their meaning as Scripture unfolds it to us. This one word is the quintessential description of Christian life. Koinonia is a life lived upward toward God. It's a life lived inward in community. And it's a life in Christ which goes outward in witness to the world. Now, this word koinonia shows up 20 times in the New Testament. I encourage you throughout the next of the week to find the other 19. But this is the first time in the New Testament that it shows up in our scriptures that were read today. And it too requires some context. You see, Peter, having shared the gospel, brought 3,000 people to faith in one day. This is a pastor's dream. And from that point on, they devoted themselves to what we understand as church, teaching and fellowship, breaking bread, sharing in prayer together. Koinonia, fellowship, is the result, the outgrowth of receiving the gospel. So I'll let you check off one more after your list of 20. Here's one that shows up in 1 John chapter 1. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. What we have seen and heard, and we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is why we're here. But fellowship is first a relationship with God. When we heard the gospel, however it came to us, when we heard the gospel, we walked into a relationship with God. The God that's way out there, the God, the creator, the God that just somehow is around us nearby, but not near enough. But when we came to fellowship, we came to belief in the gospel, that fellowship became imminent, close to us. And we spend our time wanting to know more and more about this marvelous God. And so we do listen to teaching, and we spend time in fellowship, and we break bread, and we pray together so that we might know this God, our Creator, that we might be in fellowship with him. We do church, and it's particularly obvious in this sanctuary because it opens up our eyes to God's magnificence and his mercy, God's glory and his grace. The Willett windows, the carillon bells, the soaring tower of faith, all of these remind us of the magnificence of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God. But to come to know and be in God's awesome presence is to experience his mercy and his grace. Because when we come into this sacred space, into this sanctuary, we bring our whole selves. We think we may have held something back, but in the presence of the Almighty, there is nothing that is hidden. You're all in, good, bad, and ugly. In this place, we discover a deep and intimate divine connection. In our vulnerability, we relinquish the confusion, the questions, the burdens that lie on us from day to day as we try to live our godly life. Here, we discover the life God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, desires for us. Here we have fellowship with God. So what then is koinonia but shared participation in the suffering and salvation of Christ? To be in relationship to God is to be invited into a relationship with our Savior, to know and enjoy God through the fellowship that we have received through Jesus Christ. You see, fellowship isn't just sharing coffee in the room downstairs. Yes, there and in this church we share meals and small groups, and there are choirs and there are flower guilds. All these are part and parcel of what we call church. But and each of these are motivated by what we have heard, by what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our eyes. Like the disciples who walked with Jesus, we too receive the word of life, a life that is ours in Christ, in fellowship together. We are a gathering of people who, like that first community, are going through the same stuff. They were dealing with persecution, with bewilderment, with uncertainty. We are dealing with uncertainty, bewilderment, distress, suffering, anger, angst, I can name it all. We all come in with it. And yet here we are, together trying to hold on to the same faith, that we each received through Jesus Christ. Here we are together, actively participating in and partnering with each other in this new life in Christ. Here we experience our interdependence as a community. We have people who can sing when the rest of us can't. We have people who share meals when the rest of us don't know how to measure a cup of sugar. We have people who know how to touch people in times of their joy and their sorrow. Each one of us has been given a gift or a grace that is unlike the other person's gift or grace. Here we discover that when we share those gifts, our talents, our very beings, we become interdependent on each other. We need each other to live this life of faith. Here we extend, as it was explained in Galatians 2:9, that's number 3 on your list, the right hand of koinonia, of fellowship. Here in this time together, as we provide mutual support, we do so to protect each other from things that are going on out there. But then in our partnership, together in fellowship in koinonia, here's number 4, Philippians 1:5, we participate in the fellowship of the gospel, our bond in Christ, preparing one another for what we will face when we walk back out these doors. You see, koinonia is what brings us together and binds us together. Koinonia is the tie that binds. I know you're all humming it right now. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. It's the fellowship of kindred minds which is like to that above. You see, our fellowship inward and among each other is a reflection of our upward fellowship with God. We have experienced individually a relationship with God. We share together inwardly that same fellowship. But koinonia is more than just us and God. It's more than just us and us and Jesus and God. Koinonia is more than just upward and inward. Koinonia is sharing what we have received. In our upward relationship with God, we receive God's magnificence and glory, His mercy and His grace. He brought us in relationship with Him. In our inward koinonia, we experience that mutual support and partnership that ties us together. But we do so, we take that inward and upward fellowship and we share it then with those who don't yet know that relationship, who haven't yet heard or seen or touched the magnificence and glory, the mercy and grace of God. You see, koinonia, as used in 2 Corinthians 9, 12 and 13, number 5, is the overflow of the fellowship that we have with God and with each other. Here's how Paul talks about it. It not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. And through this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the gospel and to the generosity of your partnership. And the generosity isn't just here, but it's outreach overflowing from that amazing gift we've been given. The supplies we have, the thanksgivings we enjoy, it overflows and connects our faith to life outside the sanctuary. Not just so that we can endure out there, but but that when we are out there, we would be able to share the things that we have heard and experienced and touched and seen. We might even welcome others into this fellowship. Koinonia moves us outward. Maybe this is the daunting part of koinonia. I don't really like what they tell us to do in Acts 2. It makes me uncomfortable. Maybe when you were reading through the passage, you're thinking, well, I'm not sharing all my stuff with all these people. I'm not going to spend 24/7, 365 with the same people. This is not the community of the first century. That was different. They needed each other differently then. But if koinonia is moving us outward, maybe what we're also being told then is not only do we share with each other, which is hard enough, but that we have to share out there to be generous, to be selfless, to be sacrificial. That's hard. But remember the context of our passage today. Peter and the other disciples, while Jesus was still alive and among them, were the first to hear the gospel. Even while Jesus was alive, he opened them to a relationship with God. And through Christ's suffering and salvation, sealed that relationship for eternity. Then in the spirit of communal koinonia, they gathered together in the upper room and they devoted themselves to prayer. And they, with the same belief and the same experiences, they had a common purpose. It was pretty comfortable, more or less, inside the walls of that upper room, not having to deal with all the stuff out there. But do you remember? Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and tongues of fire rested on each one, and each were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. They went out and gave the gospel in languages which were not even native to them. And 3,000 people came to faith. In this room, the Holy Spirit is moving around us. It isn't just over the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit is moving in the aisles of the pews. And the Spirit is resting on each one of you, a tongue of flame that calls you to live your life in Christ out there. Like those first disciples, we live in a time when people don't understand the words of the gospel. They don't know the rich lexicon of faith with words like righteousness and forgiveness and grace and mercy and repentance and salvation, let alone fellowship. The words we toss around so easily, or maybe not so easily anymore, are no longer native to the culture around us. But through our fellowship, our teaching, our reading of Scripture, our breaking of bread, our time together, here we learn that these words lie at the heart of the gospel. Grace and mercy and all the rest form the foundation of the life we share in Christ. And what happened in that upper room reminds us that when the gospel is proclaimed and the church is the church and sits under instruction and reads Scripture and prays together and sings together and breaks bread together, when the gospel is proclaimed, the Spirit is present. And when that happens, Even the most foreign word becomes understood. And our koinonia, our fellowship with God and one another, up and in goes out through the power of the Holy Spirit. We become a living expression of those sacred truths. Our Christian life out there allows others to understand and to come to belief, and the language of faith becomes real. Koinonia is as an outgrowth of the gospel which we heard and have seen with our eyes and have looked at and touched with our hands and shared together, is our upward relationship with God, our inward bond with one another, and our outward witness to the world. Koinonia. It's the quintessential description of Christian life. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, majestic and glorious God, we have experienced you here in this place. Time and again, we come into your presence and we rejoice in the fellowship that we have with you. And out of the outflowing of that, we discovered that there are others on this journey with us in this room. And our interdependence one with another, our fellowship with one another, builds up the body of Christ. And the outflowing of that goes out these doors, that we would be able to proclaim your gospel in words that others will understand, words that may be our life, a life that is representative of the good news of the gospel you have graced us with. In this, may we find koinonia and bring koinonia out there. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.